Hi, everyone. This is JP, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. Today, we have an interesting episode where we talk with Katie Roman. She is loosely affiliated with several different EOS projects, and she's really just a committed EOS community member, and you will hear quite a bit about these different projects. This actually turns out to be kind of a episode on forks, because there are several EOS forks happening, coming up or happening soon that we end up talking about. So it gets pretty interesting. And before I bring Katie on, though, I just wanted to remind everyone to take a moment to subscribe. If you're not already subscribed, if you're on YouTube or iTunes or wherever, give us a subscribe and a rating, a review, and that will go a long way to helping spread the word about EOS and help get more people using cryptocurrency. So thank you for that in advance. And now on to the show. Katie, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I first kind of met you online through Telegram, and that's because I just started seeing you pretty much everywhere in Telegram. It seemed like you were part of every interesting discussion going on over there. And I thought, you know, I have to chat with Katie Roman of EOS Talks and learn about what EOS Talks is and everything. And I'd just like to start off and say, like, what got you into crypto?
Okay. Well, I just want to address really quick what you said about me being in a Telegram group. And I'm going to let everyone in on a secret. The secret is have no life and join every Telegram group that comes your way. Actually, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I have a 21-month old son, so I just have a lot of free time on my hands. But that's the secret there. But as far as how I got into crypto, it was actually because I am a stay-at-home mom. So before I got really into EOS and crypto in general, I was working locally. I'm in Bend, Oregon, and I was working for a startup, a media startup, and my husband and I, you know, we got married, I got pregnant, decided to stop working to kind of focus just on that when I was 8 months pregnant. And I stayed home with my child and was doing all that good stuff. But I was getting kind of bored, not the word, because it's definitely hard work and it's definitely all time consuming having a baby. But I was kind of wanting kind of adult interaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something to kind of stimulate my mind a little bit, not just, you know, having fun and hanging out. Kind of missed working, I guess. But as you know, it's really hard to find a job that lets you work from home any hours you want, completely flexible. Yeah. It really doesn't exist unless you're some kind of brilliant, you know, software engineer or something, which I'm not. So a friend of mine, I was speaking to her about my frustrations, and she's like, you know what you'd be really good at? And I'm like, what? She's like, you should do crypto day trading. And I was like, oh, you mean like Bitcoin stuff? And she's like, no, it's so much more. So she kind of got me down that rabbit hole. I became obsessed with learning about, you know, Ethereum and everything like that. And then I found Steemit. And I just thought, oh my gosh, a social media platform that actually rewards you for posting, that's amazing. What a great idea. I had never heard of anything like that before. Joined Steemit, found out about Dan Larimer, became a little obsessed with Dan and his vision. And then that's how I ended up kind of stalking Dan to the EOS space.
Yeah, so Dan Larimer is the creator of EOS and also the creator of Steemit. And so that's how you kind of went down that rabbit hole and ended up at EOS, right?
Exactly, yeah. And before that, he had BitShares, which he co-founded with Fuzzy, who I kind of help now. So yeah, so that's exactly how I fell down that rabbit hole.
Did you end up actually doing the day trading side of this, or is it more like the education, like learning about it and spreading the word and things like that?
No. So my husband put a stop to the day trading like immediately. He's a financial advisor, wealth manager. So he was like looking at those charts and he was like, yeah, no, we're not. This is an expensive hobby. I really don't want you to partake in. So it really put me on the sidelines. That never went anywhere. But that's why Steemit was so appealing for me because I could kind of learn more about crypto and see how the blockchain, the Steam blockchain works without making my husband very grumpy.
That makes sense. Cool. So what about EOS kind of sets it apart for you compared to all the other cryptocurrencies that you had looked into?
Okay, sure. Well, I definitely think delegated proof of stake is revolutionary. That's, you know, the system Dan built upon proof of stake and his spin on it. And I know there's a few in the space now, but the thing about crypto is I see EOS as the crypto for people that actually like people. And I was really drawn to that. And I was really drawn to some articles he had posted on Steemit about radical transparency and accountability. And I know you know this, but if anyone's listening and doesn't know this, Dan is a true anarchist. He's a true believer that blockchain can kind of take us as a society to the next level. So someone like me, I wasn't very interested in Lambo Moon gains, which were a lot of the other communities surrounding other cryptos out there. And I'm also pretty skeptical. Like, I think we all feel this way now, but immediately when I read about Bitcoin and how it works and stuff, I felt like, well, that's pointless technology. It's old, it's slow, like expensive. That's going nowhere. Who cares? Even though I know it's still the number one coin. So I was just more drawn to an idea of how can we really leverage this technology to make a better place. And then on top of that, the EOS community is unique in that it has a founder, Dan, that has actually done this twice before. It's not his first rodeo, people. So I think is a huge, I mean, blockchain is such a new space. And then you have someone who could literally call himself a veteran in the blockchain space, inventor of DePulse. I mean, I don't want to fangirl too much here, but he's the real deal, right? And on top of that, the EO software is just so damn fast. I really think once we figure out this governance stuff, it's going to be to the moon, as the kind of crypto people would say.
Definitely. Yeah, I had a similar kind of awakening to EOS, sort of, you know, seeing that Dan had these great successful projects in the past and that he was making blockchain really accessible to normal people through BitShares, even more with Steemit, and I think now even more with EOS as EOS matures. So you got into EOS and, you know, I kind of met you through EOS Talks. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Absolutely. First, I'd like to say that eostalk.io, eostalk.io, is an on-chain forum currently running on the Steam blockchain, but soon to be its own chain that will airdrop on EOS holders. It is founded by Fuzzy, who is the co-founder of BitShares, founder of WhaleShares, founder of EOS Talk, Mass Dax, and Beyond Bitcoin community. So he's another OG in the DePulse space and in crypto in general. And he made eostalk.io because he wanted forums that people could post to that were safe from Ned of Steemit and his possible censorship. So those forums are there. Everything you post there is completely on chain and therefore is immutable, cannot be altered, and can be referenced back for all time.
Very cool. So when you said that this is going to be airdropped on a separate chain, so
yes,
a side chain of EOS?
Yes, it's going to be a side chain of EOS. I believe that's the latest. A side chain on EOS. Fuzzy is really committed to testing the EOS.io software and testing running side chains. He's also a big proponent of forks just to kind of do more experiments and learn more about the software. Mm-hmm. So as a side chain, he has a certain amount of EOS that he purchased at good prices. He's what we'd probably call a mini whale. I won't disclose too much more since it's his personal business. He's made this token called EOS Bits that is backed by actual EOS that he holds, and he is going to make a DAC that is going to be this sidechain, if that makes sense. And his vision is really that this sidechain is going to be all about crypto journalism and EOS and DePulse more specifically, and it's going to be a safe place that people can post, host their own forums, host their own shows, get rewarded for their content without really having to worry about, you know, some of the high cost restrictions or on the main chain right now.
Mm-hmm. So I could maybe host the Exploring EOS podcast on the sidechain.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, that's cool.
It's something to think about. Reach out to Fezzy.
Yeah, very cool. So can you explain the difference between a sidechain and a fork and how that, just how that's different? Because
yeah,
really like sidechain, when I first heard about sidechains, I kind of thought of it, I think some people use it this way, where it's like you've got the EOS chain and then you have a completely separate blockchain that's run by different, you know, it's totally separate, but it's on the side.
Right.
But then within EOS, there's also this concept of the main chain and side chains that's run on the EOS network. It's run by the same block producers.
Right.
So which are you talking about and how's that different than a fork?
Okay. So I have to preface this by saying that my knowledge on this stuff is extremely limited. Don't take anything I say as gospel. It's just my current understanding up to this point. And JP, feel free to correct me if I say anything that's totally off base. But the way it has been explained to me is a side chain that runs with EOS. It's not taking the EOS IO software and forking it, which means that you could make alterations to the software, change parts of the software. It's going to be a separate GitHub going forward in a fork, right? So you have the main chain EOSIO software that exists as it is, gets updated by block one, then gets vetted and implemented by the top 21 or however many block producers. A fork says, okay, this point in time, we're stepping away from this. We're taking the code as it exists to now, and we're using it, potentially altering it, potentially not, but we're going to have our own block producers. We're going to have our own set of rules and governance and people, and we're really kind of going our own separate ways, right?
Mm-hmm. That would create a separate token too. So you'd have the EOS mainnet token and then this forked token, which is different, kind of like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, if you're familiar with that.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's a big part of it too. It has its own token, its own economics, its own everything. But a sidechain is not forking the software. So a sidechain is using the same software, updating lockstep and key with the main, in this case, the main chain software changes, et cetera, et cetera. And it shares the same BPs.
Okay. And the same token.
And the same token. Yes. Sorry. Yes. But it could have its own, it could run its own nodes. It could have additional BPs. You know, the sidechain could, you know, have a little of its own flavor going on, right? But it's not separating from the main chain.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I feel like I need to get like a sidechain expert on because I have lots of questions about how that actually works. And I don't know if there are any sidechain experts besides probably Dan Larimer, but maybe he'll come on the podcast someday. We'll see.
Ask Dan, and I'd say ask Fuzzy. Fuzzy will definitely come on your show and talk to you for many hours about sidechains.
Okay.
He's kind of the king of them.
Okay, cool. So that's eostalk.io, and we will be looking forward to the sidechain and that being implemented on EOS so that we can use it. That'd be really cool to have kind of a sidechain that's specifically focused on media, journalism, and that sort of thing.
Exactly. And JP, I'd like to point out that, of course, there's no limits. You can post on this sidechain. You can continue to post on YouTube. You can continue to host your own podcast. You can post the content multiple places and just see where you get the most rewards or collect rewards from every avenue you post on. I mean, that I think that's one of the genius of getting rewarded on blockchain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the EOS talk would then be kind of like Steemit, where it rewards you as well by participating?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, even cooler. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm getting more and more open to the idea of hosting my podcast there. We'll see. Okay, so is there anything else about eostalk.io that you'd like to share before we move on?
Just really quick, that Fuzzy hosts a once a week show every Saturday called EOS Talks. So that's EOSTALKS. And soon it will be streaming directly from the eostalk.io forum. And basically, it's an open agenda show. Anyone can sign up to be on it. JP, you should definitely go on it and talk with Fuzzy there. And he does that once a week. His focus has been since launch bringing on block producers, and he's not fluff journalism, you know. He has the technical expertise, he has the experience, so he asks real questions, real hard-hitting questions. So I wouldn't recommend anyone that has something to hide to go on there, but if you're much like what you do for people, he asks the questions and likes to connect with the community and talk. So that's my last plug there.
Cool. So you are also involved, as I understand, in the Ono app.
Yeah, I am.
Can you, so there, we had somebody from Ono on a previous episode, and that was actually kind of a while ago. Can you give us an update on where we are in that process of launching, airdropping? And I understand there are some big changes.
Yes. Okay. So who did you have on the show? I'm just curious.
Slothicorn. Yes. Sorry. Stella Bell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stella Bell. She's awesome. For people that don't know, Stella Bell, aka Leah, aka founder of Slothicorn. She is a really big, she has a big following on Steemit. She's an artist. She's an advocate for Depos, and she's a rad person. And now she is the international liaison for Ono. So just to give people a breakdown that might not know what Ono is, it is a dApp that is running EOS IO software, and it's going to be, from what I can tell, the first major dApp to market for EOS, which is super, super exciting. They already launched using the, back at the time, version 3 of the EOS IO software. They have over 350,000 users. They launched in China first. It is a Chinese-backed dApp, and they launched in China first. And now, big news, the international version of the dApp is coming soon. We have been told the 15th to the 17th as a launch date for the international dApp. It's going to be invite code only. So people feel free to hit me up on Telegram at SummerSkin to get your invite code. And it's going to be major. Everything I've seen, we are testing the app behind the scenes. It's pretty, pretty sick.
Oh, that's awesome. One quick note is that this will probably be going live after the launch. So you probably still will need an invite code. So definitely hit her up on Telegram and get that.
Yeah, get it, people. And it's exciting. Now, there has been, just in full transparency, there's been mixed feelings about Ono. And I think most of it boils down to two things. And I kind of want to take a moment to defend them, if I may. Of course, all my opinions, everyone, this has, I'm not speaking for Ono. These are just my opinions and my thoughts, because I'm sure I'll put my foot in my mouth a few times. The first is Ono is going to launch its own chain called Ono Mainnet with its own VPs, its own, you know, governance, and its, you know, own set of rules. That is coming in 2019, that their Ono mainnet. That's what I've been told. The reason for this, they have many reasons, just to give a broad overview. You know, they, for one thing, they're not having, how do I explain this? They're doing one person, one vote, right? So that's one reason. They believe in one person, one vote. They're going to accomplish this by doing KYC, Know Your Customer protocol, and then they will have a biometric wallet. Much like Dan has teased, he's working on a biometric wallet to combine with KYC to kind of implement one person, one vote. So that's one reason they need their own mainnet. They have different rules right off the bat. Another reason is with RAM prices the way they are, they already have 350,000 users of their dApp. They cannot afford to launch on the EOS main chain. They simply cannot afford it. To launch on the EOS main chain would cost them probably around 2.8 million was the last I heard. It makes no sense. So they had intentions long ago to launch on EOS main chain. Things played out the way they did. They can no longer afford to do so. Okay. So that's that. If I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, JP.
Well, I'm just hearing about it for the first time today. And I don't know. I think it's, as a company that has investors, like, you have to make decisions like that. So from that perspective, I understand, because if they just don't have the money, or if it's not, like, if it's more financially advantageous to launch another chain, as long as they're not like centralizing the other chain and just running the other chain privately, like by themselves, as long as it actually truly is decentralized, I'm okay with it. And especially if there's some level of, I don't know, airdrop or something like that for the EOS Genesis snapshot, that would be great. Though I don't know if that's in the plans or not.
No, I was just going to say it's in the plans is the last I heard to airdrop on EOS token holders.
Okay. I think a lot of people, myself included, can get kind of frustrated with stuff like this because things with EOS lately, especially like since the launch and everything, things can change just so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really frustrating. And I think part of it is that this is brand new and it's kind of maturing and new tools are being developed and people are kind of figuring out how this all actually works in the real world rather than just like what the white paper says. And so it makes sense that things are shifting and stuff like that. And I think as an EOS token holder, somebody who's interested, I think it's important to kind of step back and say, kind of take a deep breath and know that this is developing towards the good, even if there are some bumps in the road and things like that.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. I often have to remind myself that we only launched in June. Let's give the main chain a chance here. And I'm a believer in the main chain. I hold EOS. I'm not planning on selling my EOS. I am completely committed to the main chain. As far as things going on, as far as forks and everything, I, full disclosure, I'm a big fan of forks. I like forks as long as they airdrop on EOS token holders. I will never get mad at people giving me coins, whether they turn out to be shit coins or not, because if you get 20 shit coins and one goes big, I mean, you're in good shape. So as long as forks airdrop on EOS token holders, I love it. I think it's great. And I think it's, you know what? I mean, I don't know Dan. I can't speak for Dan, but I think it's what he wants. I think there's a reason he made the EOSIO software open source. And I think we can really innovate and get to where we all want to go faster as a community, the more forks we have, because then we have more people playing with different governance, different ideas, different executions, different code, and we can see what works. And as long as we've all been airdropped on, whatever comes out the winner in the market, in the free market, is we're all going to be winners, right?
You're definitely convincing me with that, because the best thing to move ahead innovation is competition.
And exactly.
If there's no fork, the changes to the main chain, whether it's like Bitcoin or EOS main chain or whatever, are going to be slower and
right.
more internal and things like that. But if you have this external competition where people are like, hey, we're going to move over to this next chain because they're doing X, Y, Z, like that's good because it could push the main chain in that direction. And it's also good because it gives people a choice.
It does. It does.
Generally, I'm pretty pro fork too. I imagine there are some ways that you could do a fork that I wouldn't like or something like that. But yeah.
Well, off the top of my head, this is just my opinion. I know what kind of forks I would not like. And this is me snapping my fingers and rolling my head like, don't go there. Is don't fork and then call your token EOS, okay? Don't go there. We have the EOS coin. It's the main chain. Let's leave it there, guys, okay?
Yeah,
let's not confuse people. Well, I mean, because I know there is a fork. I'm forgetting who they are off the top of my head, but they're competing with main chain and calling their token EOS as well. And a hard stop for me. Yeah. I will not support that fork.
Is that the Evolution?
No. Is Evolution doing that? I was thinking of a different one. But
I don't know what Evolution's calling their coin, but that was one of the first kind of competitors that I heard about.
I really haven't kept up with them. I kind of lost faith in them when they couldn't airdrop and you had to like sign up to get their coin. I was like, well, this gives me no faith in your tech team. Mm. But that's just my personal bias, people. It doesn't mean they don't have a great tech. Yeah, no. I need to look it up, but don't try to take the EOS name. We have that. It's the main chain. That's the coin. Leave it alone, people. Rule number two in Katie's mind, if you're forking, you better be airdropping on EOS token holders. You better be airdropping on EOS token holders because they paid for you to get this software. Give credit where credit's due. Drop on the people that funded this for you. And, you know, you're standing on the shoulders of giants here. Give back to the community. So that's rule number two. And I'm sure I will come up with more reasons I don't like certain forks in the future. That's just my opinion. Don't take the EOS coin name. don't, and you better be airdropping on EOS token holders. That's it for me. Otherwise, I'm pretty open to a fork.
Yeah, I think there actually may be kind of a distinction in how we talk about these that I just thought of, is that a fork is probably after the main chain has launched and you separate the chain sometime after that. Whereas launching a completely different chain, like it sounds like what Ono's doing, that is more, I wouldn't think of that as a fork. I would think that of that more as just a competing chain.
That's a great distinction, that one that I had not even thought of till you just brought it up. I'd agree with you. That sounds right.
Okay, cool. So there's another fork or competing chain that is recently kind of causing a little controversy, and that is called Telos. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what your thoughts are on that?
Sure. So if you guys have figured it out by now, I love forks or competing chains. So Telos is the newest kid on the block in that regard. So far, I believe they are officially backed by 14 BPs or would-be BPs on this new chain, some of which are active on the main chain, which, sorry to go on another rabbit trail here. I just want to let people know in case they don't, as a BP, you can operate on multiple chains, right? That's the beauty of DPOS. That's the beauty of, you know, taking kind of being a BP for EOS. And I would argue, again, this is my opinion, that BPs should run on multiple chains because it just increases all of our freedom. It increases all of our potential gains in the future, and their experience is very valuable, and they should be proponents of spreading DPOS far and wide and spreading the EOS IO software. Anyway, off that soapbox, back to the question you asked.
Well, just real quick on that, just to give a little background, I think of how it would work is that if a block producer is running on multiple chains, they just need to be sure that their hardware is powerful enough to do both. And I'm sure there's more technical software things with that to kind of separate them and things like that. But it's really just kind of like running two copies of the same software on your server. So kind of like how on your computer you can have, you know, Google Chrome running and Firefox running at the same time. They're pretty much doing the same thing, but they're separate and doing their own thing. So that is kind of my very uneducated opinion.
I have the same understanding that, and as of course, each chain is going to have its own roles. They just have to keep abreast of each chain. Maybe there's some more admin work. I don't know.
That's actually a great point, especially with how the governance might work. Those sorts of like arbitration orders and things like that could take up a lot of time depending on the chain. And so it could be, you might have to have twice the admin work.
You might have to set up a whole new, you know, structure for your, I don't know. I think it's definitely worth looking into for BPs that are out there and maybe are in a spot where they're kind of like, maybe they're not getting paid on the main chain, or they're getting paid very little on the main chain. And, you know, these are businesses, they have to survive, right? And I know many of us are believers in the free market. So I think forks are also great for them. Hey, let's see if this other train will appreciate what you're trying to do and reward you. We don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, that's interesting because I know some of the block producers who are doing both Telos and the EOS mainnet are some of these block producers who really gave a lot to the community and really have solid hardware and things like that, but for whatever reason have not gotten the votes to get up in the top 21 and maybe aren't really making enough money to fully sustain themselves despite the fact that they're really providing a lot of value. So that's just my take so far.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. From what I've seen of them, it's a group of block producers that were really kind of more, I guess you could say, radical when it came to governance and accountability and transparency, and were really pushing for those things on the main chain. Again, the main chain has just launched, everyone, so that doesn't mean that we won't get full transparency, accountability, whatever on the main chain. We just don't know what the main chain will be and how governance will be on it yet. But these people did put real investments of their time, money, hardware. A lot of them are bare metal, have bare metal servers. So, you know, there are real costs that went into those efforts, and they've had the benefit of looking at what's happening on main chain. And they think that they can, you know, just have a few changes in rules to maybe run a chain that could be a good competitor to it, but not competitor. They've been very clear about this, as in they're trying to steal main chains of anything. They think actually that this Telos chain could be a great place to test out different governance ideas, different code changes, different whatevers that the main chain may want to adopt down the line. So they really think it's a smaller space, a smaller playing field, and it'll be a great testing ground for stuff for the main chain. That's one of their value adds, their positioning themselves as in the market.
Okay, cool. Do you know who is behind getting this started? Is this kind of one person? Is this a group of people? I haven't been able to look into that yet.
Oh, sure. So this is just my understanding. Everyone, Katie doesn't know everything. You know, I hope I get this right. My understanding was it was kind of spearheaded by Douglas Horn of EOS Americas, who is a very professional business person. He used to work in Hollywood and he had experience with Dash and other cryptos, and he's a big proponent of the EOSIO software. He spearheaded it, but he is in no way going at it alone. He's kind of has some partners right now that EOS Metal, I believe, are some EOS The World, EOS Van, Infinity Block, etc. And there's others. There's definitely others. I think right now they have 14 BPs officially signed on as endorsing this. So yeah, so I believe he kind of just came up with the idea. His team, formerly the EOS Americas team, has been working really hard to kind of market this, get all the pieces in place. But it's an open group. Anyone can join the group and contribute to it and run for block producer on the chain. I just think he's the one that got the ball rolling.
Okay. Cool. I'm not familiar with him, so I guess I'll be doing some more research and all of that. And one kind of interesting thing that I think people will want to know about is, you know, a lot of people use the tool Scatter.
Yes.
And there's some other wallets out there. And I know with Scatter and probably the other wallets, you will be able to operate on more than one network, more than just the EOS mainnet. I know that with Scatter because I've kind of looked into that a little bit, and they were, when the main chain was launching, there were kind of options of which network to connect to and things like that. So I believe that feature is still there, where you'll be able to just have kind of one wallet that works for both, most likely.
Right. Well, and I will say that Graymass and Scatter have both said that they are going to help the Telos integrate with Telos. That's not an official endorsement from them. I don't want to speak for them. They just believe that this is the point of an open source software. So they've committed to helping make that happen for people.
Very cool. Yeah. So it could sound overwhelming if there are all these forks or different networks launching to try to figure out how to handle that. But I think as the space matures, it will be easier and easier for people to participate in all the networks. So
exactly. And I will say Telos, they saw the mainnet launch. They're really committed to having, officially endorsed wallets for people to use, so that so that everyone can kind of spread that news and feel safe using those. They're committed to kind of really outlining the process of getting your Telos coin. They're committed to having like one main channel of information to blast out to everyone. They're really committed to a lot of that kind of unified information, so that maybe we can avoid the second time around, we can avoid a lot of the scams that were happening with mainnet.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and you can find their, I guess it's not really a white paper, it's an announcement online. I just kind of found it on Twitter. People are talking about it today a lot, and it kind of goes through point by point some of the differences.
And they do have a white paper that can be downloaded at telosfoundation.io. That is telosfoundation.io. And it's a really, really comprehensive, well thought out white paper. And right now they're just gathering community feedback and reviewing the white paper and seeing if any adjustments need to be made now that the community has its hands on it.
Mm-hmm. And so I think some of, from what I've seen from this announcement, some of the reasons that they are talking about doing this is also, it's almost like a checklist of things that people were kind of upset with the mainnet launch. And it's like, kind of seems like they're trying to go back, learn from the mainnet launch and kind of do it better. So, or kind of check off the boxes of fixing the problems that people had with the mainnet launch. So like having a wallet ready to go was one of them, kind of eliminating their capping. This is, I think, probably pretty controversial. I think some people love it and some people will hate it, but they're capping the number of tokens with at 40,000 tokens per address. And I believe the Genesis snapshot, which basically means if you had fewer than 40,000 tokens, which, you know, most of us have fewer than that, that's quite a lot, that you will get one Telos token for each EOS token that you had when you registered for the mainnet initially.
Right.
However, if you have more than 40,000, you will basically lose any that, not lose your EOS, but you will have 40,000 Telos tokens instead of the number of EOS that you had that's greater than 40,000.
Exactly. And it is kind of one of the more controversial points in the white paper. But I think they've done a really great job at justifying and explaining why they're doing that.
Can you explain that real quick?
Sure. So basically what happened when this team got together, we're seeing what's happening on the mainnet. I don't want to put judgment on this. Again, the mainnet was designed to work this way from the beginning. There was no one tried to hide it. It was proof of stake, right? Meaning that the more tokens you hold on the mainnet, the more influence your vote has for BP and for worker proposals, it seems. So that was the way it was always going to be. So I don't want to make it sound like there's something wrong with the mainnet, because you could argue there's nothing wrong with the mainnet. It's working exactly how it was intended to work.
Right.
That being said, some of the outcomes maybe of the mainnet so far in this early phase haven't been, a lot of people don't like what they're seeing. We have BPs in the top 21 where we don't know who they are that are in outward. They're flagrantly thumbing their noses at the reg producer agreement, not complying to the interim constitution as it is. And I think a lot of token holders are upset about that. The idea is that we were supposed to be able to vote out bad actors, but what if those bad actors hold most of the EOS coins? Right. Quite the conundrum.
You have a problem. And on one hand, I'm totally fine with the proof of stake concept, because it just makes more sense. Like if you have a lot of tokens, you have more incentive and vested interest in the network, and so you should have a higher say. However, if those tokens are distributed in a not very even fashion, then it gives some people a huge amount of power, which can cause problems. Like philosophically, I'm still for it, but I can also see why people are upset and why Telos is kind of doing it this way.
Yeah, and so just to expand on that, Telos said, okay, they looked at the numbers. They have a great a scholar, mathematician on their team, and she looked at the numbers, and it explains in the white paper the 40K cap, and she said, basically, if we cap the amount of tokens at Genesis, okay, this isn't ongoing forever. There's not a permanent 40K token cap per wallet, because that, with the technology we have now, it seems like that would be impossible to police, right? Mm-hmm. But she said if we cap it at Genesis, so we take the snapshot from June 1st, you get a 1-to-1 EOS to Telos token match up until 40K tokens. If you had more than 40K tokens in your wallet, you're just going to get 40K Telos tokens. You're not going to get any more. She said if we do that, what happens is three things. One, the distribution now becomes the most decentralized coin distribution that is out there, period, the end. So we have a more of a distribution happening on this chain, more distributed than the EOS mainnet, more distributed and decentralized than any chain out there. The second thing that happens is 99.3% of EOS wallets will see the exact same amount of Telos in their wallet as EOS, meaning that only 0.7% of wallets are going to be, quote unquote, affected by this cap, right? Now, I say affected, but really they're giving people something for free. So I don't get why people complain about that. It's like, you're getting a free coin, be happy about it. You know, 40K is still a lot of coin. Like, calm down.
This would not be okay if the mainnet did this, right?
No.
Because people bought those before. But this isn't the mainnet. This is a separate. So yeah, you're getting free tokens on a different network, and you also still have the EOS that you initially bought. So
right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No one can take your EOS from you. People that are only going to see a divergence between how much EOS they hold in their wallet at Genesis and how much Telos they own are 0.7%. And the third thing that this does is it makes it harder for the mass accumulation of Telos tokens going forward, because if a potential person or whale or whatever wanted to do that, they would raise the price of the Telos coin by saturating the market, and that way they'd have to buy it from Telos holders themselves. So it would be harder, longer system to game, which doesn't mean that consolidation of the coin wouldn't happen, but it would be years most likely down the road, if they even wanted to hold this coin. We don't know. That's kind of interesting, and it really will be. Some people have started calling it the people's chain or the community chain, and it's just a chain that's going to kind of give it's still proof of stake, right? So you have more say if you hold the 40K tokens, right, in your voting power, but it's more distributed. So
okay.
It'll be an interesting experiment.
Oh yeah, definitely. Interesting. Well, this kind of turned into the fork episode. So are there any other forks that you know about that we could just touch on real quick since we're talking about forks?
Let me see what I have here. I mean, I don't know much about the other ones. You mentioned Evolution before. I'm trying to find the name of the fork that like is also going to use the EOS name.
Mm-hmm. While you look about that, I can talk just a little bit about Evolution. Sure. I don't know that much about it, but they do have some articles on Medium that I came across a while back before the mainnet launch, and it seems like they were trying to basically do some of the same stuff that Telos is trying to do, or at least solve some of those problems. So like they were going to try to create a more widely distributed snapshot and things like that. But as far as I can tell, it seems like they really did not get much steam behind it, or much buy-in from other organizations. It kind of seems like it was just maybe one group or a very small group, because I haven't seen much movement on that.
I was really into the idea. They were going to cut out block ones 10%. I remember that was one of their big selling points. So they were like, we're getting rid of the biggest whale to have a more fair chain. That was their positioning. But yeah, I haven't seen that it's gone much of anywhere yet. But I'll never forget that conversation between them and Dan on the main channel, where Dan said anyone who advocates cutting out block ones 10% is just trying to gain more power for themselves. And the guy answered back, yeah, it's called decentralization.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't see that. One interesting thing is, like, I'm definitely for decentralization as much as possible. But at the same time, I do pretty much trust Dan and Block One. And so if somebody's going to have a big chunk of tokens, I'd rather it be them than somebody else, right? Because what I think we're going to see happen is that Block One announced that they will vote with their tokens. And so because they have the largest single amount, they will have a huge amount of influence over the outcome of the block producer election. So some of these kind of bad actor block producers will probably be instantly voted out as soon as Block One starts to vote.
Yeah.
That's because there are 30% of tokens are voting right now. And Block One's not voting, but they own 10%. So they can pretty much vote anybody out.
Yeah. And they posted their requirements, what they're looking for in block producers. They've asked block producers to write them an email personally saying why they think Block One should give them their vote. So I think they're really also trying to be very diplomatic and fair with how they vote when the time comes. I know right now they're holding off on the vote because they're waiting for a referendum to pass so that we're able to vote on 50 block producers instead of 30 because they fear that that they're just going to kill the model the way it is. They're just going to kill standby PPs if they give all their votes to 30 block producers. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I mean, Dan and team may look at this and say, we might hurt some standby block producer pay, but we really need to take action sooner than later. Because as you know, we are still waiting for a referendum tool. And I haven't heard when that's coming out. Have you heard anything?
No, not really.
Yeah, I don't know, but we'll see.
I know people are working on it, but I haven't seen anything lately. Well, I really appreciate your time, Katie.
Before we go, can I sure. plug one more thing?
Go ahead.
I've really enjoyed speaking to you. It's been so much fun. But before I go, because this it did turn into the fork episode, I did not find the name of that fork that was trying to steal EOS Token's name. I will report back when I do.
Okay.
But I can't believe I forgot this fork because it's one that is also near and dear to my heart. Simply because Fuzzy is actively involved in it, and it is the Deos fork, D-E-O-S, and that stands for, get this, Dark EOS. Dark okay. EOS. And
so it's like a privacy version?
They are saying it's kind of a fun little experiment. They haven't announced it yet. I mean, it's not a secret, but they haven't put out their white paper yet and done an announcement and everything. They're going to be airdropping on EOS token holders. And their thing is, you know what's really gummed up this whole EOS thing? Governance. The governance has caused so many problems. Let's take this really fast software and let's just deploy it as a traditional blockchain with a little bit of flavor in there. They have some interesting ideas. But yeah, basically, you know, privacy and just more of a traditional blockchain, as it were, using the awesome EOS IO software. And they're calling themselves the Dark EOS Deos. And I think it's really funny. And I think it's an experiment that has to be had, right? Like, we have to see what the dark side of the moon is.
Yeah, well, I kind of expected somebody to do this because of the issues with governance, which we haven't really covered a whole lot on the podcast. But there have been some issues in how the governance is working out and things like that. And I kind of just assumed that somebody would say, look, we're just going to throw out the governance piece and do our own chain that doesn't have that. So then there's no complication there. I'm just personally a huge fan of the concept of governance. I think we need some blockchains that have governance and some that don't. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you. I bought into EOS because of Dan and because I liked the idea of a governed chain. But again, I'm a person that feels like forks help us and don't hurt us. So I smiled when I heard about this fork and I was like, yeah, you guys should do it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, well, we'll see. I'll have to look into that more because this is the first time hearing about it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else, any other hot topics in EOS as... You're like the queen of the EOS Telegram sphere. So is there anything else out there that's interesting that people should know about?
Well, as you know, there's a million things. But no, I really like what our focus ended up being today on kind of forks and stuff. And I think we did, let's just pat our own backs here. I think we did a pretty good job. But I'd love to come on your show in the future, a few months down the road and catch up and see what's good then, what's going on then.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be happy to have you back, and I really appreciate your time today. So, Katie Roman, thank you for joining me today and exploring EOS.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's the show. Thanks again to Katie Roman for giving us the time today, and thank you for listening. really appreciate it. And the next step is really to spread the word. So definitely share this episode, and you can head over to exploringeos.com to find links and learn more. And while you're over there, feel free to leave a comment on this episode or others to let us know what you think of them. Let us know what kind of episodes you want to hear about in the future, what kind of information you want. I want to tailor this to your needs and desires to make sure you're getting what you want and not just talk about what I'm interested in. So feel free to give us the feedback there or on YouTube in the comments. Thanks again for listening, and thank you for exploring EOS. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.